Good morning. I am excited to be here today to share this message with you guys. Before we get started, I do want to just kind of, you know, briefly just talk about what Simplify is, this series. Pastor Richie's desire was to take a couple of really hard subject matters, maybe that are a little bit abstract in the faith, and kind of break those down so we can simplify the truth of what actually God is talking about in that process. So today we're kicking it off with generosity. But I wanted to just say this before we get started, and just play along, okay? But how many of you, your parents had the talk with you growing up? You know what I'm talking about, the talk. How many of you, your parents had the talk with you? Okay, you know what I'm talking about when I say the talk. But that sometimes what we do in churches is we treat anything to do with money or giving or generosity or anything like that, we treat it like it's the talk. You know, it's like, sit down, we need to talk about something right now, you know. But did your parents, when they had the talk with you, did it look something like this? Guys, can you throw that first one up there, that first video? Did it look like that, your talk with your parents? Anyways, so I was thinking about it, and I'm like, it's funny how we treat, you know, money and generosity and stuff like that. Like, we treat it like that. Like, it's this awkward conversation, and that's not the way God intended it to be at all. He intended it to be this overflow of joy from our hearts that we give and we're generous and that we're faithful with that, and he blesses us in return for that. Maybe not monetarily, but he blesses us in lots of other ways. So what I wanted to call this talk today, and you guys can throw it up there if you want to, but it's called Generosity, It's Not the Talk. So that's the title of my message today. But I just wanted to say that a lot of times what happens is in churches, if you grew up in church, then you know, a lot of times what happens is in a talk like this or in a sermon like this, what will happen is the pastors will take a love offering or want us to give and ramp up our giving. But before you even go there in your thought process or think like, okay, they're going to ask us for money afterwards, false. In fact, what's going to happen, sneak preview, is we're actually going to give you money today when you leave here because we want you guys to bless your community. And we think that you know better, just like any other person, you know how to do that. So today I want you to rest your heart. Don't get crazy. Don't think, yeah, they're going to ask me for a love offering. No love offering. We're actually going to give you something today. So so we'll give you some information about that before we leave, though. But when I was thinking about talking about this and what that looks like for me personally and generosity and how I was raised, I was raised in what I would call a hyper-generous family. We might have crossed over into, like, unhealthy generosity lines a little bit. But my family, my grandparents, and my mom were really big on just giving and just being a blessing to others. And so I grew up in an environment like that, and I was actually thinking about this, and I called Nana to see if she had one of these, but she didn't. Someone had made for our family a placemat, like a set of placemats for our table, and on the placemats it said this: if you are tired, hungry, thirsty, in need of shelter, need a place to sleep, need a ride, need a hug, need a talk, need a shower, or anything, call the Benedettis. And then it gave our phone number at the bottom of that. But that was just, to me, when I thought about the way I was raised, that's kind of what came to my mind, is just that level of generosity. There was multiple times when people lived with us growing up because they just needed a place to stay. And so I was thinking about that, but really kind of got a little convicted because I thought, man, I grew up in that environment, but as an adult, it's not, I haven't done that perfectly. I haven't learned to live this perfectly. And if I'm being honest, I do struggle with certain components of generosity. Like, if I am giving, is there a component of I'm enabling at this point in time? Or maybe I want to give, but I want to make sure I have the right attitude when I'm giving and I have the right heart, make sure I'm not trying to get something in return, even a thank you, because it's not about that. Isn't it interesting how as we grow up and we become adults, when people talk about this, we think, what is this going to cost me? What is this going to cost me? And so in order for us to kind of shed that mindset and reframe the idea of giving as a way of life, we need to talk about some things that giving is. So the very first thing, if you're jotting this down today or taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, the very first thing is generosity connects. So generosity has a language all its own. If you have ever been on a missions trip, or if you've seen a humanitarian ask, like a humanitarian aid work on TV or something like that, then you know that there is something very special that happens between the person giving the gift and the person receiving that gift. Sometimes, you know, when you think about it like in a third world setting, how, you know, they hand them these gifts, and these kids who haven't really eaten a lot or maybe don't have, you know, a lot of toys or whatever, and they're given these things, how it just lights up their life. And I think the thing that's so cool about generosity and giving and how it connects is the fact that really what's happening deep down inside is we understand, when we give with the right heart, that our generosity is cyclical, in the sense that right now I'm giving, but there may come a point in time when I'm on the receiving end of that giving. And so in that regard, it connects us all, and it kind of levels the playing field, that I'm no longer, you know, above this, or I'm a higher status, so here you go to the lower people. But it connects us in a healthy way, in the sense of I'm giving because God gave to me, and I'm giving because he first loved me. And so when we give like that, it changes our perspective. If you're a Christian, then you know that Jesus did this well. Guys, my next slide up there, if you don't mind putting it, is Philippians 2, 5 through 7. And it says this: adopt the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. Here we have Jesus, who is fully God, yet fully man, and he never one time treated other people around him like he was God, like he had status above them. He never said in the Bible, "Peter, go lay hands on that guy and heal him. I don't want to touch him because I'm God after all." No. What did he do? He got in there. He spit in the ground and made mud and put it on someone's eyes. He was in there in the midst of all that. And that's what it means to live in a connection, in a connecting way when we give. That we are willing to get our hands a little bit dirty for God. And I want to just ask this question, or pose this question to you. And ask yourself this: does my generosity connect or point others to Christ, or does it point others to myself, to me? If I feel like God is leading me to give and to do something, then the only concern I should have is my obedience to his leading, not the way that is received, or not the accolade that I get as a result of that, but just to give as God has given to us. So our generosity needs to connect, it needs to connect. All right, slide number two. Generosity restores. There is a little 3-minute video that I want us to watch really quickly. And I saw this a few months ago, and this video was really powerful to me. And so when I was praying about what to talk about today, I really had this video in mind. And I just want you to see a snapshot of what this looks like when generosity restores.
We want to update you now on a story a lot of people have been talking about. A homeless piano player in Sarasota has gotten national attention and more than 5 million views on Facebook. We first introduced you to Donald Gould last week, and this is what he looked like then. Well, now look at him. He looks different. All that fame is helping to bring positive change to his life. Big changes, actually.
Boxer Team's Josh Cassio joins us now. Josh is getting another shot at life, isn't he?
Yeah, he says this may be his last chance. Thanks to the notoriety, he's been given opportunities he didn't think existed before. Now it's on him to see them through.
Donald Gould looks like a new man. But his music hasn't changed. It's as beautiful as ever. Sensation thanks to a viral video posted last week. From homeless to winning hearts.
Very overwhelming. Can't believe it. Never thought it would happen this way.
bring me back up.
He was given a makeover thanks to Inside Edition. He's also been given temporary housing, and an account set up for him has already reached $35,000.
Very blessed. And I just, this might be my last chance. And I don't really want to let nobody down.
I'm extremely excited for him, and I'm also kind of scared for him.
Jacqueline Bevan is a Christian life coach. She's helping guide Donald on his path to redemption.
I didn't want this for Donald. I didn't want to do this for him, and I want all these beautiful things for him, but I think we all know when it comes down to it, Donald has to want to do it.
And it starts with rehab this week. Drugs and alcohol landed him on the streets following the death of his wife and the loss of his son to child services.
So I think he's got extreme potential. I think he's a very humble man. He's very sweet.
Was a chance he now has.
Are you enjoying being a star?
Yeah, I'm enjoying all the attention. Never thought it happened this way.
We've also learned tonight that Spring Arbor University in Michigan is offering Donald the chance to go back to school to finish getting his degree.
So this story really impacted me because he had a rough time. He went through a rough season. But as a result of someone just placing value on this human being and saying, man, that's amazing that he's playing so beautifully like that. And so as a result of that, she posted it on Facebook, and then it went viral from there, and this man's life has changed. And I actually did a little bit more research because I wanted to find out kind of where he was in the process. And 1 year later, he's still been sober and clean, and he's actually recording an album now. So I think that's amazing, and it really was a picture for me of what it looks like when generosity restores. And I was thinking about the prodigal son. And how, for those of you who may not know the full story, the prodigal son is a story about a man who has two sons, and one of his sons comes to him and says, I'd like to get my inheritance early. And so the father gives him reluctantly his inheritance, and then as a result of that, he goes out and he lives a life that he wants. And actually the Bible says he squandered his money in riotous living. And he wasted all that he had. And he kind of woke up after that very dark period in his life, woke up sleeping with pigs. And the Bible says he longed to fill his belly with the pods that the pigs were eating. That's how hungry he was. And then when he came to his senses, he kind of, you know, really woke up to the fact that even the servants in his father's house lived better than he did. And so what he said was in his mind, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to ask my dad if I can be a servant in his house. So we pick up the story in Luke 15, 20 through 24, and it says this. So he got up, and he went to his father, but while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servant, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with this feast, because this son of mine that was dead is now alive, and he was lost and is now found. So they began to celebrate. And I thought that was just such a beautiful picture of what happens when we give and really give without the expectation of getting something in return. That son wasted what his father gave him, and he could have said, you know what, dude, I gave you all that was yours, and you wasted it, so now you're on your own to figure it out. But he doesn't do that, and that's where that tension between us enabling and us just giving out of obedience comes in, and we really have to wrestle with that with God. Our generosity should always restore. It can restore dignity, it might restore self-worth, but it should always have a level of restoration as a component. One of the ways that we pervert generosity or the spirit in which God intended us to give is that we use our gift as leverage against someone. And I just wrote this quick little note to myself, and I put this, if you felt led to be generous by whatever means, please guard your heart, Misty, against a tendency to use generosity as a means of manipulation. It is too easy to fall into a trap, and it is so damaging to relationships when we use what God has given us and we think, well, I gave you something, or, oh, I did something nice for you, but we use it as a way or a manipulative tact or leverage against someone. We really pervert that gift, and it damages the relationship between us and that other person. So this is why it is imperative that we give only when God leads us and only when we're doing it out of obedience to him and not out of what we want to get in return for that. All right, so the third thing, and this is the last major point, is that generosity is intentional. It isn't enough for us to talk about generosity and how to be generous and give without talking about some practical ways. So in closing, I'm going to give us three ways that we can actually be intentional with our giving. And the first one is this: look for ways to meet others' needs. 1 John 3:18 says this: let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And I think one of the worst things that we do as Christians sometimes is that we see a need, but we turn a blind eye to those needs. And it's actually the reason why a lot of people outside of the church consider us hypocrites. And that's the hard reality that we as the church have to change that. We have to change that tendency to look at someone and really think, I don't think so today. But we really could meet the need. So, all right, the second way is this, that we pay it forward. Luke 6:38 says this: give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, my mom used to say this to us all the time growing up: sow good seeds. Put generosity into the ground. Use those things that God has given you and sow into other people's lives. And it might not be monetary. I don't think it was an accident today that Malia was up here sharing her testimony. That was powerful, what God did in her life. But it might not have been monetary for you. What it could be is it could be sow time. Sow seeds of, you know, love or whatever it is. Sometimes the people that we need to love on, and I talked about this last time, are in our very own home that God has called us to pour into them and to be generous and to be kind. And a lot of times what we do is we wrestle each other and we fight each other, and that's the opposite of what we should be doing. So we're gonna pay it forward. And then lastly, we are gonna make a plan. Isaiah 32:8 says, but generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Choose a way in which your family can be generous and give to others. And quickly, I just want to say that maybe you feel like you should sponsor a child. Maybe you feel led to visit people in a nursing home. Some of you in here have chosen to partner with TCC, and I just want to quickly give you a snapshot over the last year of what our church has been able to do by your giving and by your labor, just you guys just volunteering for stuff. So the very first thing we did was Relief for Puerto Rico. I don't know if you guys remember that. We kicked it off by Relief for Puerto Rico from Hurricane Irma. And then we helped and did Thanksgiving meals. Malia came to us and said, hey, I feel God burdening us to do this. Can you guys partner with me? So we partnered with Malia to do that. And then we also partnered with Lilman during Thanksgiving, Lilman Fire, and we gave with them. And then at Christmas time, you guys brought in gifts, and we did gifts, and we wrapped those gifts with Lilman, and then we distributed them on Christmas Eve, which was unbelievable. A few months ago, we participated in Stamping Out Hunger with St. Pete Free Clinic. New socks and undies last month. We did that whole campaign with Clothes to Kids, and we were able to give a ton of clothes, so much so that every single week, you guys, we had to make a drop to Clothes to Kids because it was overflowing, and that's on your generosity. And then in September coming up, one of the things that Pastor Richie really felt like he wanted us to do is he wanted us to do something good for our servicemen and women. And so in September, the whole month, we're going to be collecting goodies, maybe candy. We might have the kids do some stuff, and we're going to send those over to our servicemen just as a we love you, thank you for serving kind of a thing. So here is our challenge to you guys today. At the back of the church, we have these envelopes. Linda's going to have them at the back. And inside the envelopes, there is a $20 bill, which we want you to take, and we want you to be led this week. And for the next few weeks, however God leads you to sow seed, give to people, whatever that looks like. I quickly pulled the girls and asked them, I said, hey, if mommy gave you $20, what would you do? And their answers were so cute. Mia said, I would break it up and give a whole bunch of people $1 or $2. And I was like, oh, that's a cute idea. That's a good idea, Mia. And then Lexi said, I would buy a homeless person a house. So I thought that was so cute. So I'm like, there's going to be a homeless person that has a, you know, a Minnie Mouse tent somewhere, and that is from Lexi. But I thought that was cute. So however you feel led to give, that's what we want you guys to do today or this week. And then when you have done that, we want you to take this card, and we want you to tell us a little bit about that. What we're going to do is we're going to tie these to this little, you know, display here. And then at the very last week, Pastor Richie's going to be talking about community. And it's going to serve as a visual reminder of just how our church has been faithful and given to others. And then if you feel led, we do have cards where you can invite people to church. But if you don't, then don't. That's okay, however you feel led. But in closing today, I just want to remind you guys that it's imperative that we give and live a generous life, and that we not be selfish, and that we not hold back. And I'm so thankful for this community and what God is doing, and for the people that are coming and that God's bringing in. And so as we close today, if you guys want to stand up, as we close today, let's really pray about this week and seek God on how he wants us to give and how he wants us to live a generous life.